What's up and welcome back to the TCP podcast. This is Tyler Clark with TC Performance and I appreciate you guys for tuning back in. If you guys are weekly listeners, I apologize for last week. Had to not do this episode because I was feeling a little under the weather. You may still hear it in my voice a little bit today. Still got a little bit of congestion, but regardless, I wanted to get this episode out to you guys and I have a pretty good topic in for this week. But before I get into that topic, just wanted to remind you guys again, as usual, please continue to rate this thing, to review it, to share it with others. You know, I've mentioned my goal with this podcast overall before in previous episodes, and I'll say it again. I want this to be one of, if not the best podcast within this industry, right? Being basketball and performance. And obviously basketball, I talk a lot about the skill development, the skill acquisition and performance, everything that follows under the umbrella of that. Right, sleep, nutrition, periodization, movement quality, all these different important things, it all falls under the same umbrella of basketball and performance, and that's what this podcast is all about. And I want it to be not only one of the best podcasts, obviously, but I also just want it to be a phenomenal resource for the athletes, the coaches, the trainers within this industry. And one of the ways that I'm doing that is I'm trying to bring on some of the best minds within this field, within this industry, basketball and performance. And, you know, I provide an insight of my own and I can do my own research and I can talk to you guys through this platform. But at the same time, I learn from the people that I bring on and I know you guys learn from the people that I bring on as well. And I'm always so extremely excited to get these people on because these guests have so much value to bring to you guys. And if I'm able to put all these extremely intelligent individuals all in one place, being this podcast, in my opinion, it becomes one of the best resources that you could have, right? And it's free. Like, I'm not making you guys pay for this. This isn't a subscription-based show or anything like that. You guys can hop on wherever you listen to. If this is Apple Podcasts, if it's Google, if it's Spotify, if it's Stitcher, whatever it is, it's free, right? It's an hour to... or I should say it's 20 minutes to potentially an hour and 15 minutes of just phenomenal value, phenomenal content that you guys can apply to yourselves, learn and research more on your, like, after that, right? Like, if there's a topic that you hear within a discussion that I have with a guest or that I bring up myself, go research it more, right? Ultimately, that's what I want for this podcast. I want it to be one of the best resources that it possibly can be for the people that are already in this industry or the people entering it, like I said, either athletes, coaches, or trainers. And that really starts with you guys, whether you're rating it, you're reviewing it, or you're sharing it with somebody else, because more eyes, more ears, more listeners in general will be able to, you know, listen to this podcast. And if you guys leave me some reviews on whichever platform it is and leave some feedback or maybe questions or topics or guests that you want to see on, that helps me help you guys too, right? I want to help you guys as much as possible and be that phenomenal resource that's providing constant value to you guys. So please, if you do have a question, comment, feedback, whatever it is, type it in the reviews or feel free to DM me or something on Instagram, right? Or whichever platform you're familiar with me on. So that's kind of my gist, long-winded kind of marketing for this podcast and myself. But anyways, like I said, I have a solid topic for this week, so let's get right into it. This week, I want to talk about training with fatigue and what exactly fatigue does when we train, right? Like, when to use fatigue, can we use fatigue, what does it do, how does it affect us, and all that good stuff. And I do think that we don't necessarily talk about this enough, and a lot of the times we see fatigue used probably incorrectly at the team level, team coaches and a lot of trainers out there as well. I don't think we're using fatigue in a way that's very conducive to our athletes, right? So I think off the bat, we can all agree that when we're fatigued, right? Like, when we're super gassed, whether it's we just did sprints or just played an entire game of pickup or just full court ones or just three spot one, whatever it is, when you're fatigued, physically, mentally, you're drained, right? Like, that's not an optimal state for you to be in to learn anything. And what I'm trying to get at is when we see coaches and trainers try to teach an athlete or a team, you know, a new skill, a new play, or new anything within that fatigue state, it's probably not the most conducive environment or optimal state for these athletes. So what exactly are we doing when we actually do that? If the goal is strictly conditioning, then I can't say anything, and by all means go condition that athlete. But if the goal is to teach and for that athlete to learn something new, then we're probably doing more harm than good, because a lot of studies show that whenever we're in a fatigue state, we're just simply less cognitively able. We can't consolidate our thoughts as well. Our decision-making is flawed. Like everything, we're just in a less optimal state, especially for learning when we're fatigued, right? When we're fatigued, we're in a completely different state, both mentally, but also physiologically than when we're fresh. That kind of goes without saying. But this then in turn affects our ability to self-organize, like I mentioned. So when learning a new skill, the way that we learn and just motor learning science in general, we need to self-organize. And whenever we're fatigued, we just can't do that as well, right? So when we're fatigued, we're in a highly, highly sympathetic state, fight or flight. We're worried about survival. So we're literally trying to survive. The only thing on our mind is, how do I stay alive in this moment right now? Right, we're not focused on what our coach is cueing us on, what our coach is saying, the detail. Like, we're not focused on any of that. Our first and only concern right in that moment is survival. If we're highly, highly fatigued, we're gassed, we're dead, we're figuring out how to get as much oxygen to our brain to function properly in that moment, right? Like, as well as we possibly can. So the last thing on our mind is not going to be learning a new skill. The only thing on our mind is going to be prioritizing living in that moment. So let's get a little bit deeper into that, right? We're in a highly sympathetic state. Physiologically, we're just trying to survive in that state. When we're super fatigued, we're super gassed. Now, say whatever, a trainer or a coach decides that's the time that we want to implement a new skill, a new play, a new whatever. Like, that's when we're going to try to teach our athletes in that state. Ideally, we don't want to do that, but say that happens. If or when you try to introduce a new skill when fatigued, you're probably not going to get the outcome that you actually want. You might legitimately get a completely different skill. And this is because we're in a completely fatigued state, right? If we're at 100%, we're going to execute. We're going, like, the decision making is going to be better. Our cognitive ability is going to be better. We can understand the details and then apply it very, very efficiently. But if we're fatigued and say we're at 40%, within that 40%, you can't express force maximally, obviously, right? As much as you would be able to if you were fresh. You wouldn't be able to drop down to angles. You're not able to cut. You're not able to decelerate, to sprint, to jump the same way that you would when you're fresh. So if you're trying to learn a new skill when you're only 40% fresh, whenever you try it at 100% fresh, your body's not going to resonate with that skill. It's going to be a completely different skill because you didn't express force maximally. You didn't drop to the correct angles. You weren't able to do the things that you could do when you're 100%. So it's going to be very hard to replicate that skill or that movement when you're at 100%. You retry it, right? It's going to be hard to replicate that because you're only at 40%. So you basically have to teach yourself that movement and relearn that movement at 100% because it's going to be a different skill entirely, right? So think about your situation, obviously, and try to apply it as well as you can. But the reason why I mention team coaches is because a lot of times, at least from my perspective as a player and coaching a little bit myself now within a team setting, is they'll introduce a new set or new defense or whatever at the end of practice after everybody's gassed, right? It just doesn't make sense to me, right? We're in a completely different state physiologically, also mentally. We're gassed. Why would we wait till the end of a training session or the end of a practice when guys are disengaged, girls are disengaged, and they're gassed? Like the attention to detail isn't going to be there. The decision making isn't going to be there. They're not expressing things the way that they normally would. They're probably at 50, 60% of what they need to be at, right? So it just doesn't make sense to put that kind of stuff at the end of a practice Why not at the beginning or the middle? Just stay away from the end of a practice, especially if you're a team coach and also trainers, which I'm going to touch on that a little bit more, but it just doesn't make sense to me from a team setting to introduce those kind of things at the end of practice when your athletes are gassed. But that's just me. My biggest point within this discussion is that if we're teaching a new skill, we're trying to learn a new skill, you want to be as fresh as possible, right? I'm going to talk about how we can use fatigue to actually help us in training. But besides that, before even thinking about how to utilize fatigue as a constraint, let's just not train a new movement within a fatigue state, because if we're trying to learn, we want to be as fresh as possible. That's the biggest takeaway from that aspect. Now, how can we use fatigue to our advantage within a training session or team session setting or anything else like that, right? There's three ways that you can use it to your advantage. The first one is going to be conditioning, and that's pretty straightforward. Obviously, if it's a team setting or even a training setting, conditioning is going to happen. It needs to happen. And obviously, you're going to be in a fatigue state whenever you condition. I'm not going to get into how to condition, what types of conditioning, all that stuff. But obviously, number one, you can use conditioning. That's how we can utilize fatigue in one way. Now, two, progress already known skills with fatigue. So use fatigue as a constraint, right? And this one's a little bit more creative. You can get more creative with this, right? So again, going back to what I said earlier, we're not going to teach a brand new skill in a fatigue state. But whenever you've introduced a brand new skill in a fresh state, they have it down pretty well, right? They're starting to get it more and more. They almost master it, right? Whenever they get to that 70 to 80% mastery of that skill, now we can look at ways of how to challenge this skill with potentially using fatigue, right? So if you're getting really good at a certain skill, whatever skill it is, you're going to have to use that skill and display this skill within a fatigue state. Like it's going to happen. Research has shown that skilled athletes are better at adapting and changing their technique to succeed under fatigue. So for example, an expert may change their shot slightly to use more power from their legs in the fourth quarter, whereas, say, a novice athlete may stick with the same exact technique that they were using when they were fresh and end up leaving the shot short or even missing in an air ball, right? So the more elite athletes, the more skillful athletes, the experts, so to speak, are way better at adapting in that fatigue state than a novice athlete. So at times, we can utilize fatigue as a constraint, because whenever we reach damn near mastery of a skill, we're gonna obviously use it in a game. We're gonna use it in a competitive setting. So there are gonna be times in that competitive setting when we reach fatigue. How do we adapt in those situations? Well, we can use that in a training session. Using fatigue as the constraint, we can challenge those skills and get better at adapting within that fatigue state, whether it's contested finishing or contested shooting or ball handling or passing, whatever it is, you can challenge those skills by using fatigue as a constraint. And now to progress even further off this idea, maybe we can look at how we engineer our actual training sessions, right? So just a simple model or method, if you're going to teach a new skill, you want to do that at the beginning of the session, because that's when we're our most fresh, are most ready to, you know, take that knowledge, take that skill and learn and then apply. Now, if we want to then use fatigue as a constraint to a skill that we've already mastered, use that later on in the session, right? So if we've reached that 70 to 80% mastery of a skill, boom, later on in the session, we can be gassed, we can be a little fatigued, and we can work on the skills that we've already damn near mastered, right? And use fatigue as a constraint. But the biggest thing in this case is that you created that foundation of the actual skill. You learned this skill when you were fresh. So whenever you meet that 70 to 80%, that's when you want to introduce fatigue as a constraint and challenge the skill in that aspect. So you already created the foundation. You learned the skill when you were fresh, slowly progressed it, challenged it a little bit. Then you can introduce fatigue whenever you meet that 70 to 80%. Say it's contested finishing or, you know, a floater over defense or even contested shooting. at that point, you've already created a foundation. So a lot of the things are really solid. You're good and you're very skilled at shooting with a hand in your face or finishing with contact or whatever the case may be. So now let's do it in a fatigue state. Make sure those things that you've set in months ago, weeks ago, whatever it is, stay consistent and then progress from there. Slowly but surely be in a more fatigue state, right? Like start small, then progressively overload, just like in anything. And then the last way that we could potentially use fatigue is within a performance or a strength and conditioning setting, right? So again, just like with basketball skills, like on-court skills, there's going to be times in the game or in the competition that we're going to be in a fatigue state and we're still going to need to compete. We're still going to need to execute. So the same thing happens with movement, right? Whether it's jumping, cutting, decelerating, all these things are going to need to still be efficient, and we still need to be adequate at those movements in a fatigue state. So once you've worked your athletes up to a state where they can handle high loads regularly without fatigue, then maybe you want to start to introduce some fatigue, right? Because again, third quarter hits, fourth quarter hits, overtime hits, you're still going to need to stay solid physically, mentally, everything. You're going to need to be able to take an extremely hard cut or an extremely hard deceleration on the right leg three times in a row, one possession, because that's going to happen in the game of basketball sometimes. So how do we prepare our athletes for that? Well, like I said, after you've progressed this athlete properly, work their way up to it, introduce some fatigue, do a little bit of conditioning, fool around with this concept of introducing fatigue in the weight room, and then doing things like cutting or decelerating. Start small and then get bigger with it, right? Jumping under a fatigue state. Because if we can do it in a controlled setting, slowly progress it, then we can even implement it onto the court and then kind of mesh the performance, skill acquisition, performance on-court stuff, right? That's how we really prepare ourselves for competition in the best way possible. Now, to kind of bring everything together, at the beginning, obviously I talked about we don't want to learn new skills in a fatigue state. We want to be as fresh as possible. Learning new skills in a fatigue state might not be the same exact skill whenever we're 100%. Then three ways that we can utilize fatigue potentially within a training setting, within a weight room setting, right? So the first one being conditioning. Mentioned that before. Second one being we can use fatigue as a constraint within our on-court player development stuff. Could be really beneficial, and I do think that it's an important thing that we need to think about as coaches and trainers. The last one is performance training. Like I said, we need to be able to decelerate at high rates. We need to be able to jump, cut in a fatigue state. And that's something that we should think about implementing into our training once we work our way up to that. Like I said at the beginning, this is an interesting topic. I thought it would be good to talk about. I was talking with Coleman Ayers about this, as well as some other of our colleagues. We were talking about this, and I thought it was interesting. Wanted to bring it onto the podcast, as I don't think it's talked about too much. So I hope that you guys took something away from this episode. Hope that it was valuable to you. We'll have guests on the show pretty soon here, and I have some really, really solid guests lined up. So again, I apologize for no episode last week, but we are back on a solid schedule as far as I'm concerned. So I appreciate you guys for tuning back in, and we'll see you next week.